So, as a woman and an immigrant from Brazil, I am very passionate about supporting and encouraging and empowering women in their business ventures, and obviously focusing on the communities of immigrants, Latino communities, Brazilian communities, to show them the possibilities, to encourage them to look for their gifts and learn how to monetize those gifts and impact society and their communities with what they already know.
Welcome to Startup Ecosystem, No Stupid Questions, where we unabashedly dive into the topics and questions that most startups and entrepreneurs are smart enough not to ask in public. Here's your host with all of the stupid questions, Joseph Hacker.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us on another episode of Startup Ecosystem's No Stupid Questions. So I'm here with Marta, and Marta, you are everywhere from TED Talks to a book. You rally people. I watch you on social media, and you are a powerhouse. Can you share a little bit about who you are and what you're doing?
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for having me. So I'm Marta Spurk. I'm an empowerment coach and marketing strategist, and my passion really is empowering women entrepreneurs, to increase their confidence, to show up boldly, and use their gifts to impact the world, and obviously have it be seen in their bottom line, increase their sales, and increase their business reach. So that's what I've been up to.
Well, and I'll tease this, and then I'll ask the first stupid question. So my grandparents were immigrants, both sides. My dad's side was from Germany, and my mom's side, we are outdoors, so that's that.
Love
that,
it.
Downtown,
yes.
Too. So, so both sides of my family are immigrants, and you have a passion for women and immigrants. Now, as far as ecosystems go, I know that my grandparents as immigrants, they kind of had a certain path into business ownership.
Yeah.
They did come here to live that dream, but they didn't necessarily have the tools to get there or ever really learn how to do it, let's say the right way, and tap into resources. So, stupid question. You know, what are your thoughts on immigrants starting businesses and the things you're passionate about?
Yeah. So I think in some ways my own story has kind of kept me feeling a little bit shameful, because I have had the resources and I have had more opportunities just from my upbringing. I left Brazil and from a very wealthy family. I am not a rags to riches story. I came to the United States because I wanted to live here, and I married my husband and we came. But one other side of me is that I also work as an interpreter. That has been my career path. It has been with languages. And after having children is when I went down the coaching path and the entrepreneurial path. But serving, especially the courts, I'm a certified court interpreter here in Colorado. I work alongside Brazilians a lot. And the ones that need my support are the ones that don't have proficient English. That's why I go there and I help them, especially in the legal setting. And I've been privy to how they live their lives, mostly, you know, illegally and working really, really hard at hard jobs, construction, flooring, house cleaning. And that's usually the resort. People come here from very poor conditions in Brazil. It is a third world country, and their view of I'm going to step up in life is they're going to work these kinds of jobs or start their businesses in those industries to be able to afford a car, to be able to pay rent in an apartment, which is such a huge striking difference from what they would get in Brazil. But that's pretty much where it stays. Now, there are, I was actually just seeing it not too long ago. A friend of mine was showing me that her niece, I think, is in New York. She has built $1 million business with her cleaning company. So there are those stories, but that's, you know, few and far between. And that is a striking difference from what I have built in my business. But more and more, especially after releasing my book and having people realize that I'm not from here and I've been able to build this, I have been more aware of the impact that I can have with those communities and in showing them that there are other things, and maybe they don't have access to them, but I do, and I can help them with that. So
stupid question. You're new here to America. You're from Brazil. You've got to keep a roof over your family's head. You probably have the goal of sending your kids to college and getting them educated. But, you know, where do you start? Language is a barrier. There's not a lot of doors. You don't even know the lay of the land.
Right.
Where do you start?
So one of the things that, again, because I work with language and I see that that is something that creates a huge gap and a huge separation, and at times I wonder if these people knew the language, they wouldn't even need me, the government, because they get the service for free, you know, at the courts. The government wouldn't even need to pay me if they had access to the language, and then they would probably have more opportunities. And that is something that I've always kind of struggled with in my mind, because I chose to acculturate myself. I married an American and I came over here, but there are many Brazilians that do so that never really learn English, that their husbands have to learn, or the communication is really poor. And I feel like, in a way, pursuing a path of looking for those opportunities and getting out of your comfort zone, because now looking back at my own story, leaving your country is a huge risk that most people do not ever choose or ever endure, you know? And like I said, the way I left the country is very different from the majority of people that immigrate, at least the Brazilians that immigrate to the United States. But one of the things that I see is somewhat of a resistance to embrace the possibilities here, because the mindset is still in your country of origin.
Yeah.
And that is something that I feel I have benefited from, is that I decided I was going to be a part of this, that I was going to show myself, even if I have an accent, I don't know the words, I ask stupid questions. And I think a lot of it has to do with getting out of your comfort zone to reach out for those resources, but also the initiative of those that are here with the possibilities to reach out to them. It has to be a two-way street. I can't just put all the burden on the immigrants, obviously, but just saying that if you've taken the risk to come all the way over, I can't see how getting out of your own bubble and making a fool of yourself, whatever it may be, could be detrimental to you. And I have to say that being an immigrant myself, I have felt very, very embraced. Granted, I've come in a different situation, but oftentimes I find myself wanting to hide that I'm not from here. And many people are like, you don't have an accent. And I was like, that's for a reason. Yeah. I wanted to blend in like so much that I rejected my origins for a little bit there. And then especially after having kids, I've been embracing it more. So it's not, oftentimes we feel like to embrace something new, we have to let go of all of the old. And that is not true. We are a mosaic of many different things. And I feel like if anything, you can contribute with the wealth of culture and with who you are by stepping out. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's my thoughts.
Yeah. No.
We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Discover VentureX Denver 5 Points. VentureX is a modern co-working space offering its members a shared flexible workspace with a community of like-minded business professionals. Professional. Private offices. Flexible terms. Find out more at www.venturex.com/locations/Denver-5 points.
No. So off air, I was saying that. So my grandparents are Mexican, mm-hmm. and they're both no longer with us, but mm-hmm. they never learned to speak English, and they wouldn't necessarily. They would not even think to go to like a Denver Startup
right.
Week or to the SBA or SCORE to get mentorship. Mm-hmm. They went with the things that they knew. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to be offensive in this word, but you kind of a tribal knowledge.
Yeah.
You tend to notice that like Vietnamese own cleaning stores, mm-hmm. Cleaners,
yep.
Or donut shops, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, Middle Eastern tend to work and run gas stations,
yeah.
and we see it as a common thing, mm-hmm. but I also think that it's a track,
yeah.
That when you come here, you know that you had a family member here that was already doing that mm-hmm, thing, mm-hmm. and suddenly you kind of have this immigrant path,
right?
So we were kind of saying a passion of mine would be to create more pitch events or entry points,
right?
At the places where people already are at. Hookah lounges, swap meets, and that mm-hmm, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid question. As far as those tracks go,
mm-hmm.
what are your thoughts on kind of penetrating that gap or that path and introducing more opportunity.
Yeah, and this reminds me of what you said, that you want to disrupt. And earlier today, I actually had an interview with somebody, and as I was telling them my story of literally doing everything opposite than what my parents expected me to do, I am a little bit of a rebel, and I think it takes a rebel, probably from a younger generation, like us, right, to notice this and to create that bridge between all of that and to come up with different ideas. Because I can assure you that there are rebels in the closet right now, but they are thinking what you just said. This is the path, because this is what all families from this ethnicity gravitate towards, so this is what I need to do. But there are many of us who think inside ourselves, but I want to do something else, and we don't do it, right? But it takes one person kind of going that route and saying, hey, this is the way. You don't have to stick with that because you have these other gifts. I mean, just like with any family, there's lots of I think worldwide, the expectations of you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer, right? That's success. And then some kids are like, screw this, I'm going to be a musician, you know? And some don't really make it anywhere, and some really do. And that's the story of you can actually do it. So I feel like it really starts with somebody that has already had that itch, really acting on it. And I think we're probably acting on this, you know, with this conversation, because I was sharing with you that I'm partnering up with other Brazilian entrepreneur women and doing something for Denver Startup Week, touching specifically on this, on women immigrants and how we can break through the industry, the country, or these stereotypes of what is expected, specifically Brazilians in our case, and do things differently. Like, we don't have to go into those industries. We can go into what we have in our hearts, and it all, I mean, that's the entrepreneurial spirit. It has to start with something, right? With that first step. So I guess starting with those ideas and acting on those ideas, and not being afraid of disrupting. And now I'm wanting to create something in the swap meets.
No, I say go to where people are already at. Don't expect them to come to your, you don't invite homeless to a black tie gala,
right? Yeah.
Because that's so in your face, it's rude.
Yeah.
And yet, I feel like we do the same thing as far as business. Because in fact, I've been saying something recently. I've been saying that we have a venture capital system. But we don't have much education at the ground level. So essentially, in the world of entrepreneurship, we have a university program without a public education system. And how do we expect people to be successful in business if we've got that system? So here's a stupid question. Women, Brazilian or other ethnicities, how do we fix it? That's a loaded question.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot.
And I love that we're talking about this. I honestly didn't know that we were going to go there, because I have been reflecting a lot on this, because there's different stages to business. At first, you're literally just trying to make sure your idea works and that is profitable, and that it's useful use of your time to then think about, how can I impact my community? How can I give back? You need to start actually making a profit to be starting to think about this. And I definitely see myself in this stage where I'm not just thinking about, I'm making enough money that I can invest in XYZ, or that I can consider this a good path for my life. I don't have to go back and get a job type thing. And then thinking how the best thing that we can do as entrepreneurs really is show other people the power of entrepreneurship. And I think that is one of the initiatives. I mean, we were talking about swap meets, and those people are already living it. But even bringing this message, like you're saying, you have to have some level of education before going into university, and having kind of planting the seeds in different ways of how owning your business is something that benefits, that has so many benefits, like for yourself, for personal growth. I mean, talk about handling challenges and hurdles, and learning to build thick skin, but on the same hand, learning forgiveness and learning self-forgiveness a lot. That those are skills for life that you may not develop at a regular job, especially if you stay at that job for years and years, whereas entrepreneurship is continuously challenging you because the world changes and you're forced almost to have to do that. And so that's one of the things that has been on my mind, is that I don't want to just encourage women or encourage women that already have a business. I want to encourage women that don't have a business and never would see themselves as entrepreneurs, especially because that's where I came from, being a stay-at-home mom for a few months and then deciding that was not what I was going to do, to realize that it doesn't have to look like I'm going to be a president of a multi-million dollar company. Because I think that's the fear too. When you present something like that to people, it's like they don't see themselves as that, so they don't even want to start because it already sounds so far-fetched. I don't want to do that. I'm going to, you know, take away time from my family. I'm going to turn into this horrible person, you know, greedy or whatever. And maybe change the conversation around what that actually means. Because there is conversation, especially on social media, when you come, you know, when you talk about direct sales, multi-level marketing, time freedom, you know, work anywhere, use your computer and blah, blah, blah. But I really would like to see, and that's something that is coming from me wanting to create this initiative too, is more specific talk about how entrepreneurship helps you grow as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to live your life to its fullest potential? Then you create something that meets a need in your community, and that's it. And then you keep going, and then you keep asking questions, and you keep listening to see what else it is that is needed that matches your gifts and matches your abilities, and just run with it.
Well, and there's guys like Gary Vee and Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. and all these people that are putting out all this social media content. And mm-hmm. I've been hearing a lot lately, you know, oh, well, you can just go to YouTube and learn that.
Mm.
And that's cool. And I get that. Yeah. And YouTube is, you know, hell, you could probably rebuild an entire engine mm-hmm. off of videos right. from YouTube, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to go back to my grandparents.
Mm.
I've got to even go to my parents.
Right.
And I don't think that's where they are going
mm.
for those same resources.
Right.
How do we meet people in the communities that they are already in? Because I've traveled to Australia, Indonesia, Dubai, Mexico, and I'll tell you, I don't understand their system.
Mm-hmm.
I will also, and this is just a total side note, I was in Mexico. I was short on change at a McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
and the girl working the cash register immediately made the snap decision to just let me pay whatever I had.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't ask a supervisor. She didn't ask a manager. She just made that decision. And here in America, if I was one penny short,
right.
they would not give me my food. Mm-hmm. So I find that other countries just their nature,
yeah,
they're just a little bit more easygoing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to come to America and you're one penny short, mm-hmm. we're going to be dicks to you.
Right.
And so how does a person who doesn't even know the language start a freaking business here?
Right.
That's got to be nearly impossible.
Right.
How, you know, so my stupid question would be, Is it a matter of translation? Mm-hmm. I mean, Gary Vee and these guys are already creating. Is it a matter of so translating those messages into other languages?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a matter of knocking it off and creating a whole subculture of content for people to digest and be able to learn and become motivated and have the access to that info?
Yeah.
How do we bridge that gap?
Right. Well, and those both are great ideas, because that's entrepreneurship opportunities right there for people that want to translate
yeah.
and create a whole thing out of that. Obviously, you probably have to get permission, but or creating your own thing, because this is what we see a lot online. Nothing is original anymore. Everything that Tony Robbins says, a billion other people are saying with their own twist, right? Obviously not necessarily plagiarizing or copying, but it's things you've heard before, but when you hear it from the mouth of the person that resonates with you, it sounds completely different and it touches you in a different way. And going back to what I had already said before, I mean, I can guarantee you that there are people in younger generations that are following these people because they already understand English enough and they're motivated by that, that could take the initiative. And this could be somebody that's listening or watching us right now. I'm taking this as a sign to actually act on your desire to talk about these motivating topics. Like I said, all of us have this thing inside of us, like, I could be something else. I could be so much more. I could do something else with my life. And usually we are stopped by that fear and the conditioning that but nobody else in my family has done this, so I can't. So it would take somebody that would be willing to step out, but also taking the risk in a way, which is very entrepreneurship-like. But I like the idea of creating a sub-community or a subculture in different languages. And I think in many ways there are. Looking at the content of Brazilian digital creators and public figures, the internet and social media is huge in Brazil. Like when you look at followings, sometimes it's even higher for just celebrities, not even people that are doing anything.
Mexico, their celebrities in there are easily outpace ours. Our Brad Pitt versus their whoever, I'm not aware of it, but yeah. They outpace ours.
You know what
ours.
I'm saying? It's insane. It's like, it's so, so prevalent that whatever it is that you're pushing out there, whether it be a good message or a bad message, it's going to get a following. So I think it's just a matter of creating this here, though, because that's happening over there. And that was one of the issues that I had even when I started my business. I contemplated doing things in Portuguese. I did it for a little bit. But then the conversion, trying to get clients that are paying you in the Brazilian currency, it's just not worth my time, honestly. Right now, I think it's five of their money for $1.
Yeah.
It's insane. So then I dropped that. But especially to the people that are living here, so to the immigrants, there would be such demand, I would say, for these kinds of things. And even when you think nonprofits, I know of, because I know there are agencies and not agencies, but nonprofits that work specifically with people wanting to start a business that offer support. And I know that there are initiatives like that in Spanish. I'm not sure about Portuguese, but these types of things bridge the gap already. I don't know how much reach they get or how much interest they get because of what you had said. People are just so stuck in that track that they don't see beyond that. But it really takes other people paving the way and continuing on with the message to have them see the other possibilities. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hola. Bonjour. Guten Tag. Nien hao. Hola. Assalamu alaikum. Enyang haseyo. Hello. Tech Alley is coming to Denver August 2022 in the Santa Fe Arts District. Join this collaborative effort to bring a multitude of business, startup, tech, and entrepreneurship groups together to offer panels, discussions, workshops, vendors, interactive experiences, and entertainment in an inclusive environment in a multitude of languages. Visit us at www.techalleydenver.org and discover the many ways to collaborate and be part of the tech and startup scene.
I mean, and I'm gonna way generalize here, and I'll probably get some boos for this, but you know, so typically the first generation comes with, you know, a shirt on their back and hustle like you wouldn't believe, and this very rigid, I'm gonna get this goal. That second generation, a little bit more entitled.
Yeah, totally.
But yet full of opportunity. And then third generation gets back to the hustle. And it's funny how we kind of skip generations like that. But I'd still say that ecosystem-wise, you know, the tech investors in Mexico, the funds and the cell phone companies and the billions and trillions of dollars is amazing. But I don't see those same venture funds and angel opportunities here. In fact, culturally, and I'm going to generalize a lot here, but culturally, I don't see that reinvestment into minority groups either. I'm not seeing BIPOC or Black investments truly investing in other Black owned businesses or Latinx investing in Latinx. I see a lot of advocacy for, but I don't see a lot of putting my money where my mouth is. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, these are full of, I didn't expect this to be such a cool
conversation. You're putting me on the spot. I don't know the answer to your question.
I might have come hard because you're a rock star. You're from your book to your speeches. So yeah.
I mean, and that goes for anything, putting your money where your mouth is. Like, and I even call myself out on that, again, because I don't live that reality. And I think that's what it is. And even when we look at celebrities advocating for things they have no idea about because they are living in mansions, you know, you forget. You say you don't forget where you come from, but it's easy to forget where you come from when you're not living in those conditions. Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about this side note. I have one of the ladies that works for me as a virtual assistant. She's from the Philippines, and I referred her to a friend. She's doing work for my friend as well, who is also a Brazilian entrepreneur here in Fort Collins in Colorado. And she's about to have a baby, and we were both trying to coordinate, like, let's give her something. Let's give her a gift. And she sent us the website of whatever stroller she wanted us to get, and it was like a little umbrella stroller. Like, that to her would be an amazing gift for us to receive, and it's $60 for us. And we live in such conditions that even somebody that works at a fast food store would be able to afford something better than that, you know? So that's the reality that people are living. And other thing too is to say that as an immigrant, even though I did come from a privileged position in Brazil, I have been around poverty more so than the majority of Americans have. And I will say this generalizing, but I say this with authority. I believe I say this with authority because it is a third world country. So I have been exposed to a lot of poverty that many Americans have not. It's just the reality that it is. And so when I see Americans or people that are in the United States talking down on the opportunities and things that are here, I think to myself, you have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why I say it's easy to forget where you're from. And so I think that is the reason why we see what you just described, is that it's easy to say also that you're going, that you're supporting, but it, actually investing is a different story. But I think conversations like this, which I wasn't expecting to have this conversation, is actually empowering me and encouraging me. And honestly, in a way, because I have rejected in many ways my origins, because I wanted to fit in so badly. And I have even had Brazilians say, you know, you need to celebrate Brazil. And in my TED Talk, I actually paid homage to Brazil. And they actually encouraged me to play a little snippet of the Brazilian national anthem, which I was surprised that they would even suggest such a thing. I started seeing how what I'm doing as an immigrant, even if I'm not your typical stereotype of an immigrant, impacts so many lives just as is, but I could take it a step further. You know, and I think conversations like this are really motivating me to think how if somebody sees somebody else that is from their country, regardless of where they come from, there is that level of trust or relatability. Like, you know what it is like to be like me, you know, and putting yourself out there and showing these possibilities, but also reaching out to those specific people. I guess we don't do it because we don't understand the impact, or because maybe there's more recognition in giving back to other areas. There's that as well, right? It would be more openly appreciated if you did it, or at least perceived, because I think it would be very appreciated regardless, you know? So I guess that's my answer. I think it's easy to forget where you come from and to kind of get sidetracked in a way with the things that truly matter.
Yeah. Here's a loaded one, and I've kind of gotten in the habit of asking it, but if you were ruler for a day, what would you change about the ecosystem to make this more accessible to more minority groups and women?
Oh my goodness.
You can utterly change the universe. You can change people's mindsets, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would have to bring it back to the language. There is such richness in learning another language. And I know that that is not a reality for many people. But if there was more incentive and if the benefits were clearly established, I speak for myself in the sense that I had always been very interested in other languages. In fact, in my bachelor's degree, I learned French as well. Know a little bit of Spanish. I wish I knew all of the languages, to be honest, because there is such a special thing in being able to communicate with somebody in the language that they know. People appreciate it. And it's so funny because everybody that's trying, well, you go to a different foreign country and you try to speak their language, you feel like they're thinking you sound silly. And even if they laugh because they appreciate it. you know, it's kind of like saying, I appreciate you as a human being, and I'm going out of my way to doing that. And I think the United States has come a long way with Spanish speaking opportunities, because there's such an influx, and obviously so many immigrants in from Spanish speaking countries. And I know that in Florida and even in Boston, there are several communities that are majorly Brazilian as well, and in other countries as well. So that's something that I would like to recognize as an immigrant myself, that that's something that, even though Americans themselves, for the most part, overgeneralizing, don't take the initiative to learn other languages, the country itself has made amazing initiatives. And I recognize this as an immigrant, that this is not something we have in Brazil. We don't have signs in a billion different languages. You know, there are some stuff in the major touristic spots in English, and probably because we hosted the Olympics, we hosted the World Cup, and before that, no. So, but that's not my answer to being ruler. But going back to the language, I would go there, because this is something that, again, I believe I have authority in saying, because I work in this field. If those people knew how much independence they would have if they took that step towards that, that it doesn't take away from their origins, because I think there is a big fear there, that if you go that path and you're abandoning who you used to be, and like I said, it's everything adds on. There is so much richness to that. That would be the first thing. And the second thing, what we talked about before, is creating those bridges in their language, obviously, but in bridging that gap of the language, this would make it potentially easier of reaching these business owners that are already up and thriving and doing amazing things, and helping them grow even farther, or seeing other possibilities and other investing possibilities and things that they would have never even dreamed of doing if they had they stayed in their own country.
We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Joining Crowd introduces Enterprise, digital business cards for businesses with two or more employees. As a business owner, building your network is now easier than ever. Create unlimited digital business cards for all of your employees for only $2 per month. Easily download contact lists and track activity by employee. It's time to join InCrowd Enterprise. Make new friends, grow your network, and stay connected.
And we'll wrap things up, but I want to ask one last stupid question. Just nagging at my mind. I don't know of this, maybe you already do, but is there a mentorship style program in the Brazilian community? I mean, you're doing that yourself, but is there a network of that?
No. So something that I know of, and that is one of my friends that we're partnering up together to do something for Startup Week. She has a networking group for Brazilian professionals in the United States, but it's for Brazilians to connect with Brazilians and do business with Brazilians. And a lot of it is in Portuguese. And one of the hiccups that she always gets into with me is because I do everything in English. And I know that once I grow more, and especially with having the book out, more and more people are asking me, when are you going to translate the book? It's coming. And I know that with that, and also with having my message more solidified and established, it makes sense to then transition. Because for a while there, I was trying to do things in both languages, and it's just too much work until you actually get that revenue up and make things, you know, happen. But the mentorship is within the Brazilian community, so it's not necessarily in helping insert them into entrepreneurship. So that is something I know. It's called Pro BR Network, and it's an amazing thing that she's been building with the own like membership website. You pay a fee to be a member, and you get to market your stuff and connect with people with Brazilians from all over the United States. But in terms of mentorship, there isn't such a thing, at least as far as I know, and at least not in Colorado. Potentially in the states where the concentration of Brazilians is larger, like Florida and Massachusetts, there may be something like that. I would almost bet that there is. Now I need to go research. But maybe that's something for me to eventually create here in Colorado.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many tools already floating around. It's just, they're fragmented.
Yeah.
It's hard to discover. and we're maybe not replicating them into groups. That we are outside.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this garbage truck sounds like a transformer who's just like,
I know, transforming.
Anyhow, there's resources available, and I just don't know that they're translated into other groups. And then I don't know who's going to pioneer those. Mm-hmm. But I'm grateful that you're doing your work and that you found friends that are doing work too to help support a community. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yes, and, I would love to.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had ideas on creating, on writing a book, because as you get into this coaching circuit, you see people doing the TEDx, publishing books. And early on, I had a mentor that said, don't do it. It's so much money, and you're not going to make money off of it. You're going to invest a lot of money, and you're not going to make much money off of it. And then I ran into other authors that were primarily doing memoirs. And I was like, I don't know, because my story is not over. I don't feel like I'm at that epitome that I would want to write about my story just yet. And then I actually started working with a coach that had published 9 books, had done a TEDx, and he said, if you want to be a speaker, you need to have a book. And I was like, all right, so what am I going to write about? And then I decided it didn't have to be a memoir. And in fact, now I tell people, don't do a memoir, because you want there to be a takeaway, something tangible that people can walk away with, to then go back to you after they read a book. And this has been an amazing shift in my business in getting speaking engagements and speaking the message of the book as I speak, and then saying you can literally continue this conversation in your house. So that's what I did with this. I share my story. Obviously, the introduction is a lot of, you know, I was born in Brazil, talk about my parents and things like that. But the book itself is divided in 5 chapters, and it's the 5 steps in my framework for personal growth and for business growth. And my target audience is for women, but even my coach, who is a man, said that this could easily be the empowered man or the empowered human. So I invite guys to read the book as well, because it's really what I describe in these 5 steps are the steps to an empowered path. So in order to empower yourself, it doesn't just happen overnight. I'm empowering myself. It starts with noticing where you are right now, who you are right now. You can't go to point A until you really realize where point A or point B. You can't go to point B until you realize where point A really is. So that's what I invite people to do, is notice themselves where they are, understand their personality, their behaviors, their patterns. The next step is listen to yourself. So paying attention, exactly what we were talking about. Those beliefs, those thoughts, the conditioning that we receive from past generations and just from society in general, and how that's shaping your reality and what you feel you can do or can't do. The third step is forgive yourself, and that is by far my favorite. There is the empower yourself, that's next, but like I said, I wish there had been more focus on how entrepreneurship helps you grow as a person, and I think forgiveness has been a cornerstone of that for me. Forgiveness of myself for perceived mistakes, or for being far behind, or for, you know, neglecting my family, or for not, you know, over delivering to clients, or whatever it is. And forgiveness to others too, because this is a path where you will meet people that think radically different from you, and you're going to have to either stand your ground or keep an open mind, right? So and it takes forgiveness to be able to do that. The fourth step is empower yourself. When you look back at your life and you realize you've done some pretty amazing things, and that empowers you to continue on achieving. And the final step is transform yourself, which to me means being a more self-accepting version of you. It's not becoming someone different. It's just loving who you are, owning it, and stepping out in the world.
I love that. I love that. I wish, if I were ruler for the day or whatever, if I had the power, I wish that I would change our perception of failure. We feel kind of, I think globally, and especially, and I was raised Roman Catholic, this guilt thing that happens. And you know what? We're all evolving.
Yeah.
And I actually think we could fail more.
Yes.
Take those good risks. At failing. Mm-hmm. Martha, how can people find out more about you and everything that you're doing?
Yeah, so you can just go to my website, marchaspirk.com. I'm, like you said, all over social media. Just find me on any platform. I also have my podcast, The Empowered Woman, and you can find my book on Amazon or on my website as well. I would love for you to check it out and connect with me.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining
us
on the show.
Thank you. This was so fun.
For you guys watching, if you guys found a nugget of information, please hit the share button. Share this with your network, your friends, your family, and encourage other people to step out into entrepreneurship. With everybody who joins the ecosystem, it changes. So you can do your part by simply being active. So thanks for watching.
Well, that's it, folks. That's another episode of No Stupid Questions in the books. If you would like to be a guest on Startup Ecosystem, No Stupid Questions, simply apply at www.joinincrowdpodcast.com/no-stupid-questions. One last stupid question. Who do you know that could benefit from this episode? Hit the share button and share this episode with a friend. Or an enemy.